Hollywood, welcome to Starlight Mystery Theater. Matthew Slade, private investigator. We invite you to take your seat as Slade unfolds a case of murder.
In my job, the hours are odd. So are the circumstances and the people I meet. You could even call some of them dangerous. My calling card reads, Matthew Slade, private investigator. Hello? Have you notified the police? I see. All right, suppose we talk about it. I'll be right over. It was a woman. She had a problem. I was the guy she'd selected to solve it. I picked up my hat and coat, turned the knob on the door of my private office, walked through the reception room and out into the hall. I took the single flight of stairs down into the landing at twos, strode through the doorway and out into the street. It was raining. I pulled the collar of my coat up as the rain started to drip off my hat. I headed for the parking lot.
Good evening, Mr. Slade. You ready to go home?
Not yet, Jose. I got a job to do.
Oh, well, must be a very important case for you to be out on a night like this.
Yes, very important. It involves a dead man. I drove up the lot and headed for 43 Meadowbrook Crescent, a 12-minute drive from my office. Meadowbrook's on the east side of town, a fashionable area for the society set. The clock on my dash panel read 8:45 as I drove through the impressive gateway and up the gravel drive to a white mansion. I'd known the victim. His name was Miles Wiggins. He'd hired me several months ago to trace a rare coin. That was an easy job. We'd only met twice, both times in my office. Now, I was to meet him again. Only this time, there wouldn't be much of a greeting, not in his condition. Suddenly, I felt uneasy. I thought of turning back. I couldn't stop now. My super curious mind had to find out why Regan's wife was calling me instead of the police. As a bolt of lightning streaked across the sky, I could see the outline of the house. The place was in darkness. I stepped on the brake. Before I had time to turn the motor off, the front door opened and Marion Regan stepped out into the porch.
What took you so long?
It's a bad night, Mrs. Regan. Would you mind shining that flashlight off my face?
Oh, I'm sorry. Come in.
Where is he?
In the living room. Through here, Mr. Slade.
What happened to the lights?
They went off just after I called you. The power lines must be down.
Well, it's pretty black in here. Doesn't it frighten you?
Nothing frightens me now. Not after what I've been through. He's over there by the fireplace.
Let me have the flashlight. Yeah, shot through the heart. Is this your husband's gun?
Yes. It was an accident, Mr. Slade.
Now, suppose you tell me all about it.
Yes, only let's get out of this room. We can talk in the library. There's a couch over by the window. We can sit there. Mind the table, Mr. Slade.
Oh, thanks. All right, now, let's have it from the beginning.
Yes, from the beginning. It all started around 2 o'clock this afternoon. We were in the other room. Miles was sitting at the desk writing. I was on the couch listening to the radio.
That concludes our program of Symphonic Rhapsodies. For the next 15 minutes, the piano melodies of William Bryan.
Well, my dear, that's that.
You're still determined to go through with it? How do you know it'll work?
It will work. I'll mail this letter on our way to Mountain Springs and then...
Miles, why must you run away from this?
Marion, do you realize my predicament? When the board learns I've transferred shares over to David Corby without their approval, I'll be through anyway.
But why do that?
Must we go through it all again? There is no other way. I've embezzled company funds. Corby is blackmailing me. This way, I'll get out of it with a clear name. It's simple. Corby replaces the funds in return for my stock. This letter of resignation will reach the office Monday. We'll stay at the Springs till things quiet down. Corby will call a board meeting and the rest will be up to him.
Won't they become suspicious?
Embarrassing questions if I were around could lead to an investigation.
What did you do with the money?
Now, Marion, you promised there would be no questions. In a couple of months, this whole business should pass.
A quarter of $1 million doesn't disappear into thin air. Miles, I want to know.
I can't tell you, and that ends it.
I won't budge from this room until you tell me.
When you come to your senses, take the train and come on up to the lodge. I'm going upstairs to pack.
Miles, I'm going to the police. I can't go through with it. It's senseless for you to run away.
Do you know what they do to embezzlers?
We could get Matilda. There's Martin Downing. He'll get you out of this. It's better than running the rest of your life.
That's a chance I'll have to take. Now, if you want to leave with me...
Miles, I can't.
Your final word?
Listen to me.
There's nothing further to say.
Miles. Miles. I'd like a cigarette, if I may, Mr. Slade. Oh, the lights. They must have repaired the power lines, thank heaven. Thank you.
What do you know about David Corby?
He's head of the legal department and a member of the board of directors. He's an ambitious man.
What happened after your husband left the room?
I decided to call on David Corby to see if he'd listen to reason. I pleaded with him, begged him to give Miles a chance. He wouldn't listen. He said Miles deserved what was coming to him.
Where does this Corby live?
Savoy Towers apartment, Snob Hill.
What happened when you returned home?
Miles was in the living room. He'd been drinking.
Where have you been? To the police to turn me in?
Of course not.
You were anxious enough to try and persuade me to give myself up. Well, I'm not going.
Miles.
You've been to the police, haven't you?
Miles.
Haven't you?
You're hitting my arm. You're drunk. You don't know what you're saying.
Drunk, huh? Well, I'll show you how drunk I really am.
Miles, put that gun down.
Try to send me to jail.
Listen to me. I haven't been to the police. I wouldn't.
Stay back. Now, get back, I tell you.
Give me the gun, Miles.
Let go of my wrist. I told you to stay back.
I tried to get the gun from him. It fired.
Show me your position in relation to your husband's when the gun went off.
Well, I was standing in front of him. We were beside the desk. He was shaking me. Then he reached into his coat and withdrew the gun. I grabbed his right wrist and we struggled.
He held the gun in his right hand?
Yes. I grabbed it and tried to turn his wrist so he'd drop it. The gun was pointing towards his heart when it went off.
Well, Mrs. Regan, take hold of my right wrist and try to twist it as you did your husband's.
Well, it was like this.
Mm-hmm. A little harder, Mrs. Regan.
You're resisting, Mr. Slade. I can't.
All right. Are your fingerprints on the gun?
No. I mean, I don't think so. Oh, I just don't know.
What happened to the letter your husband wrote?
I have it in my pocket. After the accident, I took it from his desk.
Let me see the letter.
Why? I told you what's in it.
I'd like to read it for myself, Mrs. Regan.
Now, look, Mr. Slade.
A letter, Mrs. Regan.
Very well.
It's been opened.
Of course. I opened it.
Does your husband write with his left hand?
Yes, he's left-handed. Mr. Slade, must you keep asking these foolish questions?
Part of my service. Now, you say your husband was drunk when you came in. You had an argument. He took out a gun. You made a grab for it and it went off.
Yes.
Okay. On your part, it was an accident. Well, if you're telling the truth, you're in the clear. So how do I fit into all this?
I want you to remove my husband's body.
You what?
I want it to look as though he's disappeared.
Oh, now, wait a minute. I'm a licensed private investigator, not a body snatcher. You can't be serious.
I'll pay you $10,000.
You've got to be kidding.
I'm not kidding, Mr. Slade. That's my offer. I need your help. I'm willing to pay well for it.
I know I'm in the business to do other people's laundry, but this is a little too dirty.
If it's a question of more money, I'm willing to raise...
Let's get one thing straight. I work with the law, not against it. If I were caught doing such a thing, I'd lose my license and end up in jail. It's strictly illegal. I don't run that kind of an operation. Now, you maintain it was an accident. Okay, it was an accident. I wasn't a witness. I can't say either
one. But only the two of us would know. Mr. Slade, I've got to go through with this.
I'd suggest you call the police. You can save yourself a lot of trouble.
I can't do that. Not now.
Why is it so important the body shouldn't be found? You told me you wanted Miles to give himself up.
I've been thinking that perhaps Miles was right. The less said, the better. Why expose Miles' past? It'll be a lot easier on me and...
Stop pacing back and forth, Mrs. Regan. Please sit down. You make me nervous.
I'm sorry.
Now, suppose you tell me what really happened tonight.
No more than I've already told you.
All right, all right. Have it your own way. You need someone to play sap for you, Mrs. Regan. It's not going to be me.
David Corby will cover the embezzlement. It can be made to look as though Miles had just disappeared. People do that.
Yeah, one every 3 minutes, I know. Miles hasn't just disappeared. He was shot. Removing the body is illegal, and I don't intend to do it. Incidentally, what makes you think you can get Corby to cover the theft now that Miles is dead?
He gave me his word.
Oh?
Before you arrived, I phoned him. Told him about the shooting. He seemed glad Miles was dead. He wanted to know about the shares. I told him Miles had signed them over to me. He said he'd replace the money if I turned the shares over to him. I told him no.
You're playing with dynamite, Mrs. Regan. There's still time to get out of this before it's too late.
I didn't want to tell you this. It's Corby. I'm afraid for my life.
He's out to kill you?
As sure as we're sitting in this room. You see, David Corby was my first husband. I divorced him to marry Miles. He's had it in for both of us ever since. He threatened my life tonight unless I turned those shares over to him.
Where are they?
In the safe.
Tell me, was Miles' life insured?
Yes.
Substantially?
$100,000.
Made out to you, of course.
Of course.
Were you ever in love with Miles?
Once, early in our marriage. He changed. You don't believe that, do you?
Not altogether. What is it you're after, Mrs. Regan? The insurance? Control of Miles' company? What?
That was unfair. How could you say those things with my husband in the next room dead?
I haven't seen real evidence of tears.
You are heartless.
Cautious. It pays in my business.
Mr. Slade, you must help me. Please reconsider. I'll give you any amount you ask. $40,000, $50,000 in cash.
You have that kind of money in cash?
I can get it. Tonight if necessary.
Where?
From David Corby.
Corby? A second ago, he was out to kill you. You are a liar, aren't you?
The money's part of his deal for the shares. $75,000 to me.
Mm-hmm. You tell a most unconvincing story. The police will shoot holes in it in seconds. They're not amateurs, you know. By the way, what's your story to the police going to be?
Can't you understand? I can't go to the police. All I need...
All you need is a pigeon. I told you it's not going to be me.
Mr. Slade, there's a limit to my patience.
Oh, your dialogue gets better every second.
I'm asking you for the last time.
Hasn't anyone ever said no to you?
Do you think I killed him?
Did you?
How could you even think I did?
Well, go ahead. Prove to me you didn't.
I didn't ask you here to have you interrogate me or insult me. I'm offering you a proposition. One honest person to another.
Very good, Mrs. Regan. Quite a song and dance, but it doesn't fool me.
You can't talk to me like that.
Well, I can and will. You'll have to forgive my insubordination. I rate very high on that.
Let's not argue. I just want you to help me.
We're not going
to
go through that again, are we?
Mr. Slade.
The answer is no. Flat and final. Good night, Mrs. Regan. Park it, Jose.
Yes, sir, Mr. Slade. You going to be working long?
A couple of hours. Some paperwork to clear up.
Hey, what happened with that case you were just on?
An accident, Jose. At least that's what the lady called it. An accident. I was back in the office trying to wade through my tax return, but I couldn't keep my mind on the job. I kept thinking of Miles Regan lying cold as ice on that living room floor. His wife begging me to dump the body. The story wouldn't stand up in an old lady's tea party, let alone a police grilling. Questions racked my brain. I knew I should be calling the police and making a report. Curiosity got the better of me. David Corby lived at the Savoy Towers. 18 minutes later, I was pressing his door buzzer.
Yes?
Corby?
Who?
David Corby. The gentleman with the blackmail racket.
He said what?
You hard of hearing?
Who are you?
A Shamus, private. The name's Slade.
Am I supposed to get excited? What do you want?
I'd like to talk to you about a dead man.
You ritzing me or something?
If I am, I'm not aware of it.
You've got the wrong party. Now, if you don't mind, investigate somewhere else.
Marion Regan says you were blackmailing her husband. She offered me $50,000 to dump the body. Your $50,000. Well, are we going to stand out here in the hall all night and tell the neighbors about it?
You'd better come in. Now, suppose we start from the top.
You might ask Mrs. Regan to come out from behind those drapes. She'll get awfully tired standing there all night.
You're very observant, Mr. Slade.
Didn't take you long to get here.
Get to the point before I call the police.
Police? A blackmailer calling the police.
For your information, I have a high standing in this town. A respected businessman.
So was Al Capone, according to him. Probably the reason they locked him up.
Who's been writing your material, Slade? It's cute.
Oh, that... Well, I've been reading some of those Chandler books, you know, the biting, sarcastic private eye and all that. Just trying it off for size. Now, let's cut out the babble. Who really killed Miles Regan?
Well, look, Slade, the gun went off. It was an accident.
Then notify the police and no problem.
You're the one creating a problem.
That's because I can be pulled in as an accessory after the fact. And I don't intend letting you two saddle me with that.
What is it you want out of this? More money? Stock in the company?
Miles Regan was a client of mine. There's such a thing as ethics in this business. You may not have heard of it. When a client is bumped off and you have an idea why, you're supposed to do something about it.
It's as I told you earlier, an accident.
Then why dump the body?
To save the shame and embarrassment. to protect Miles's name.
Oh, bravo, Mrs. Regan. Oh, I especially like that little throb you got in your voice when you got to his name. That was very good. But it won't fool the police. When they start working on you, you'll crack in short order, and so will Corby.
Where's the motive?
They'll pick one to suit them. They're very good at that.
Why don't you put in with us, Slade? You could make yourself some money.
Illegal money.
So we're bending the law a little. It's done every day.
You don't really need me to get rid of a dead body, and you know it. For $500, you could hire a two-bit hood. You need a pigeon. Someone to take the rap. Someone that'd look good at the police, whom they could put through the ringer. You thought you could buy me. While I was disposing of the body, Mrs. Regan would be calling the police, and they'd catch me in the act. It's too bad you counted on me as being dishonest. It just might have worked.
I like the way you figure things out.
Oh, there's much more.
Please go on.
I don't think it was Mrs. Regan who killed her husband.
Interesting. Who did then?
You.
What makes you think he was murdered?
Mrs. Regan tipped me to that. When I worked for Miles, I got to know him pretty well. His hobby was collecting coins. Well, we got around to talking about guns. That's my interest. Miles abhorred guns. Unlikely, then, that he'd keep one. That's point number one. Mrs. Regan's story was that she tried to wrest the gun from Miles' grasp, and it went off. He weighed all of 200 pounds. Supposedly, he was drunk. Now, when Mrs. Regan enacted what happened, she barely had the strength to lift my arm, let alone twist it. Highly unlikely she'd have been able to twist the arm of a violent, drunken man twice her size.
Mr. Slade.
Let me finish, Mrs.
Regan.
I won't
stand here and let you make these insinuations.
No harm, Miriam. Let him go on.
Now, you told me your husband held the gun in his right hand. And later, you told me he was left-handed. Then you told me about the hurried trip to see Corby. I think Miles changed his mind. He was going to the police. That meant you both had to work fast. Now, as I see it, Corby came back to the house with you.
Well, Regan, have you got those share certificates signed?
No, and I'm not going to sign them. Not over to you. I've changed my mind.
What do you mean you've changed your mind? We had a deal.
Not anymore. I'm going to own up to what I've done.
Well, that's not being very smart, Miles. You know I'll never let you get away with it.
I expect you'll try. But that doesn't bother me. I'll offer to make restitution. It will be up to the board to accept or reject it.
You can't double-deal me like this. Now, you'll sign those certificates over to me if you know what's good for you.
You're wasting your breath. Threatening me won't get you anywhere. This is something I've got to do.
Well, now, look. If you want a little better deal, I'll go along with you.
It's too late for that. I have to face up to the mess I've got myself into. I'll take what comes.
Pretty speech, Miles. All it will buy you is a term in jail.
It'll buy me peace of mind, worth the price.
Oh, don't make me laugh. What are you trying to protect? An honesty you never had? I know when I'm being kidded. Now, let's stop playing games.
It's no game, but the end of yours.
Now, look, Miles. You're going ahead with this deal, whether you like it or not.
You're a hard man to convince, David. There won't be any deal.
Well, perhaps this will change your mind.
You're not capable of shooting anyone, and you know it. You haven't the guts.
I want those shares. I'm going to get them.
Go ahead. Shoot me. That won't get you the shares. You certainly can't scare me into giving them to you.
Get away from that phone, Miles.
You're through blackmailing me, David. We'll let
the police... Miles, put down that phone. Put it down.
Well, Corby, was that close to the truth?
Very clever, Mr. Slade. Too bad we have to dispose of you. I was getting to like you.
My, you certainly do have a lot of guns. Incidentally, why did you leave that other one beside the body?
I figured we'd get your fingerprints on it.
That's not very smart. The police can check out the serial number. They'll trace it to you.
That revolver was stolen. I purchased it from, shall we say, an undesirable type.
How do you intend getting rid of me?
Simple. We take you back to the Regan house. I shoot you with the same gun I shot Miles. It will look like you shot him, then killed yourself.
You'll have to do better than that. Where's the motive?
The police will come up with one. They're good at that. Remember? Well, shall we go?
Reluctantly.
It's unlocked. I thought I'd locked it before I left.
Inside. Get the lights, Marion. Okay, Slade. Over near his body. Pleasant dreams.
Drop that gun, Corby. Turn around. Make it slow.
What is this? Who are you?
That's Sergeant Dinelli, Homicide Division. Good timing, Sid. You had me worried for a moment.
I knew I should never have listened to you, David.
Shut up, Marion. He's got nothing on us.
I have enough, Corby.
When, may I ask, did you tip off this detective Slade?
I saw Mrs. Regan's car parked outside your apartment building. I called Sergeant Dinelli from the lobby, told him I had a hunch it was you that killed Regan. I convinced him I could lure you back to the house and get a confession.
How stupid of me.
Yeah, I've seen them all shapes and sizes. They all end up tripping themselves. You can't beat the law. I wonder when people will realize that. Hey, you did a good job, Matt.
You know, I think I should start working on commission for you people, Sid.
Yeah, you'd probably do all right at that. Hey, why don't you come over to our side of the fence, huh? You'd make a good cop.
Me? In uniform?
Look better than a trench coat. All right, let's get these birds downtown.
I figured this a tough case, and it was. I almost lost my life solving it. If you're wondering about the outcome, it was like this. The embezzlement was brought to light. Due to the circumstances, Mrs. Regan and David Corby, Miles is experiencing the big sleep. Because of it, Corby will face the electric chair. As for Marion Regan, well, she won't be mixing with her socialite friends. They don't have too many of those in jail. And oh, if you're wondering about that $250,000 Miles stole, it turned up in a safe deposit box an even thousand. Well, not quite. The last thousand had been broken into even hundreds. But there were only 9 of those. Now, what did Miles do with that missing hundred? I wonder if Raymond Chandler could have found an answer to that. Maybe I'll try solving it myself. Anyway, in my file, I've labeled this little misadventure a case of murder.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.